I'm on vacation every single day, cause I love my occupation. Hey, I'm on vacation. If you don't like your life, then you should go and change it.
How'd you put that ball in the water?
Just did. Little axle grease.
Who is that?
Poly track on a Plymouth work.
Who is that?
That golfer.
Cameron Smith.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, he's from Logan.
Okay. That guy's got Weezer written all over him. What are you talking about?
Okay, he's neither.
Oh, that is not true. He just came out of Smithfield. You know that. Look at him.
Oh, that's rough.
Lardy Dorothy. Look at the hair on that guy.
Yeah, come on, man. Clean that up. Do better.
He just went in the water. And that false front, that is such a notorious false front on that par three. I wish Justin Thomas would have went in the water.
Yeah, look at that.
Oh, you'll never guess where he's from.
Yeah, Cache Valley.
Why are you attacking Cache Valley all of a sudden?
I'm just saying, I know 100 people.
It's like
him.
All of a sudden you come from Weezer and you're attacking Cache Valley like that.
That guy's Cache. Look at that mustache.
Cash. No, that's not Cache.
The mullet and mustache.
That's deep south right there. Come on, give me a West Virginia.
Yeah. Brisbane, Queensland, Australia.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You're an Aussie.
Still looks like trash. Come on, you're at Augusta. Find a razor, for crying out loud.
Clean it up a bit.
Clean it up. I mean, you look like that in Brisbane, but you can't do that in Augusta.
You know his mud flaps are at least four feet wide. He's just got that mud flap that runs along the entire back end of his old 2002 Ford.
Hands of Scotty. Earlier today, Joe Ingles sat in with DJ and PK and talked about his 13 attempts in the game last night, as opposed to having four the night before.
I got a few good looks early that I missed every one of them, and then obviously got some more later on. And so, as always, if they're there, I'm going to take them. I'm not going to take the bad ones, but I'll take them. And obviously with JC out, again, kind of same with Mike, or when I've been out, or Donovan, or whoever it's been, there's a little bit more opportunity for guys to step up a little bit. So we all had to play a little bit kind of role, and well, we got the win.
So we've been over this a million times, and I know you hate it when we go over it a million and one, but I think when opposing coaches see the guy who's leading the NBA in effective field goal percentage only take two or four shots, they're probably a little relieved. And I get that the guiding principle with your offense is the ball goes to the open man because the best shot is the uncontested shot. And really the only time you guys get away from that, there are times that Donovan Mitchell or Jordan Clarkson will go one-on-one and will take a contested shot. But largely that's the guiding thing. And so I get why there are games where you don't shoot a lot. But given how effective you are, I wonder how much thought is given to creating options, because teams are choosing not to leave you for long stretches of games sometimes. You know, they've made it a priority. Hey, we're not letting this guy get open. So what about trying to do something to create open shots for you? I assume there have been those conversations with either Quinn or assistants or a combination of all of them. How do they go? What's the thinking there?
Yeah, I mean, it is a tough one because, I mean, you guys know me and I've said it a million times. Like you said, like, I'm not going to take bad shots. I'm not going to force shots. Just because I feel like I haven't had enough, or I want to shoot more, or whatever the reasoning could be. I mean, I do know at times, probably more myself, I can be more aggressive at certain times when I think it's people probably think and look when someone's out, I look more aggressive. The fact of the matter is when someone's out, if Mike's out, yeah, I'm going to have the ball more. If JC's out, yeah, I'm going to have the ball more. It's just kind of common sense. So there is more opportunities for that. There's definitely times with our full roster I can be a little bit more aggressive or pick and choose my times, I guess. But it's tough too. I'm not going to – Rudy rebounds the ball and Mike and I are standing kind of next to him. I'm going to take off and let Mike carry the ball. He's our point guard. That's what we traded for him to do. Same with Donovan, same with JC. There's a lot of guys in our team that can handle the ball. And I think, like I said, there's definitely times I can probably be more aggressive. I've never been the best rebounder in the world. I usually kind of let the bigs kind of sort it out or whatever, be down there. And when I see Rudy going for it, get out of the way so I don't get taken out. But if I get the rebound, it's obviously me starting the break, and then I can kind of be aggressive off that. So, I'd love to shoot 15 shots a game every game, but that's not the way our team's constructed. Obviously, we've got Donovan who's going to take majority of them. Boyan's going to get his. Mike's going to get his. JC's kind of going to get his. Those are our four guys that are pretty consistently going to get the looks, which I feel like I create a lot of those looks as well. So, it's that kind of, I guess, a fine line of each game figuring it out. Like I said, when I can be aggressive and when it's time to move the ball and get someone else a shot.
In the NBA, Joe, you got games coming at you fast and furious, particularly this season. I think it's like 16 games in a 30-day stretch in the month of April. So you got to take them all for what they're worth. But I'm wondering, do you guys get a little more excited for any of these games? Like this Phoenix game seemed like it was a big game. And I guess it was, but the Suns are right back where they were Wednesday as far as still being 2.5 games back because you beat Portland and they lost to the Clippers. So can you get into anything and maybe a little bit more exciting, or you just got to roll with it because you still got all these games to go?
Yeah, I think someone said last night we've got like 21 games in 37 days or something to finish the year or whatever.
Yeah.
Give or take. Every game's exciting. It's what we do for a job. It's what we love to. It's why we do this job, because we obviously really enjoy the competitive side of it and winning and all that kind of comes with it, playing in front of fans, all that stuff that's combined into one. So I think every game's just as exciting, whether you're playing the last seed in the East or the top or whatever. So I think we've got a smart group. Guys know, yeah, we realize we're top. We realize Phoenix is exactly whatever game's behind. The Clippers and the Lakers are always going to be up there. I don't want to say we take more games kind of more serious than others or anything like that, but every game's important. And what we've focused on this year, and I think we've done a really good job of it, is more ourselves and the way we want to be playing come the playoffs. So, yeah, it would have been great to win Phoenix that game in overtime. It's a good game. It felt like a playoff game, the competitiveness and the intensity of it. But we lost. I think we learned some good things out of it. We come and bounce back against a really good Portland team that's been playing really well too. It's frustrating to lose those games that are close and that you feel like you could have won or you could have done something more. But like you said, the games are coming so quick right now that we got on the plane right after the game, got in at 2 a.m., had a little nap, took the kids to school, and we were back at the facility getting ready for the next game. So it's going to be like that the rest of the year. We play tomorrow, and then we've got a back-to-back followed by another back-to-back. So, just kind of focusing more on ourselves, trying to get better and better, trying to implement things in certain games that we'll need in the playoffs. We can not using certain teams, but there's certain players that you can, there's certain pick and pop bigs that we know we might see with Anthony Davis or Jokic or whoever that might be in the playoffs. So, yeah, little things you can do, but yeah, just game by game and keep getting better is what we've focused on all year.
So you get out rebounded in Phoenix by, I don't know, 16 or 17 boards. It was a lot. And then you turn around and do the exact same thing to Portland. Is that something that you guys just know because you can all look at a box score and that's it? Does Quinn mention something? Does Quinn mention something and show you a bunch of video of where you can do better? How does, in a 24-hour turnaround, how does that happen?
Well, the best thing is when you lose on a back-to-back, you don't really have to watch film of that game the night before. So you can kind of just kind of move on to that next game. Obviously, again, like you said, like we know when we have done something not well, whether it be individually or as a team, like out and they scored off it, or I had an opportunity to shoot a three and I didn't, and we had a turnover or whatever the situation is. There was times we were, like Rudy and Faye were contesting a lot more of Booker's and Chris Paul's mid-range, which put us in rotations a little bit. And the guards were coming down and trying to hit eight, which if you're a second late, he's 7 foot with a whatever, 7'6", 7'8", wingspan. So it's hard to out-jump someone like that when they're in position. So I guess it's one of those ones where it didn't really need to be said. I think we knew what we didn't do. And I guess the matter of fact is too, is like when we do rebound and when our guards rebound, we're a really good team because we can get out and run. And that's what we do best. We run, we got guards that can run, we got bigs that can run, we shoot threes. Misses if we miss it. And it's where we kind of thrive as a team. So, it was still obviously brought up, but it wasn't something that we needed to be screamed at over. I think, like I said, as a smart veteran group, I think it's very easy to know when we're not doing something that we know we should be.
How much sleep then did you get before the Portland game?
A few hours, a couple of hours. We got in at 2 or 3. I think it was about 3, like 2:33. Got up at 7. Took both my kids to school and let Renee hang out with Jack. And Jack had an appointment yesterday at the pediatrician, so she did that with him. And then I think I had about a 45 to an hour nap in the afternoon. Like, I don't know, 5 or 6 hours or something. So it was all good.
It become mental at that point to just power through it?
I'm not complaining one bit about sleep when Renee's up all night with Jack or the twins, and she's very, very amazing at letting me sleep tonight. I'll obviously have a very early night tonight. We both will have a very early night, but she does much, much more of the heavy lifting overnight and stuff with the kids. So when there's an opportunity for me to get up and take one of the kids or both the kids to school, I try to do it to help her out. So I can't say that I have the tough job with the family side of things, because she definitely carries the load with that. So if it's a night of less sleep, then I'm not gonna complain one bit.
So I have seen a lot of teams over the years playing back to backs. You get to late in the third quarter, and that's when the fatigue really hits. That's when they're a step slow, and that's when they get beat. And I've seen it happen to Jazz teams, not just your generation, but other generations of Jazz teams on the road. And I've seen it happen to a ton of teams coming in here and playing at elevation. So it was especially surprising to me to see you guys blow the game open in the third quarter, 40-19. It was so impressive, and I really didn't expect it at all. It caught me completely off guard. What do you attribute that to? Because it really does seem like an outlier in the NBA to be on a back-to-back after an overtime against a quality opponent, and you blow the next opponent out in the third quarter.
the coach said at halftime that he really wanted to impress DJ and PK for the radio.
Okay, that's good. Good. I thought I was getting in Quinn's head with some of my post-game questions, so I can see why that would happen.
He said, we really want to make them proud, so let's go on a little run here. And it was actually funny you said that, because after the game, I said to I can't remember who I was talking to. I was talking to someone after the game, and I was like, I remembered looking up at the third. Obviously, it was close at halftime. I think it was 1 point or 1 or 2 points, whatever. And I looked up in the third quarter at some point. I don't know what the timing of it was. And I was like, oh, man, we're only up a couple of points. Like, it feels like we're playing, like, reasonably well at the start of the quarter. And then we went up and down or whatever for a few possessions. And I looked back up and we were up, like, 22. And I was like, what the hell just happened? Like, I don't even remember. I haven't watched the game or anything either, so I don't really know what happened. But obviously we were getting stops and we were scoring is the obvious thing. But, I don't think we shot incredibly well in the first half, but we were obviously playing well. We was, like I said, it was a close game. We did talk about at halftime just coming out kind of ready, and we knew that they would kind of probably want to make a push as well. It's what you were saying, but vice versa of that. Like, they know we're on a back-to-back. They know we got in late, all those things. So even more of a reason to them to push the ball and get stops and try and I guess fatigue us a little bit more, but I think we did a really good job of executing and just kind of doing what we wanted to do to obviously get that lead. I didn't realize it was 40-19, but we'll take it.
So when you get teed up, does that mean you got to be quiet the rest of the game?
Everyone kept saying, like, leave him alone, leave him alone. You've already, like, now you've already got one. I was like, I'm not leaving him alone, because they obviously missed it and it really annoyed me at that time. the best part is that I said to the one, I'm not sure his name, the one that I thought he missed, when I laid it up, and I think it was Ennison at the time, Ennis fouled me. And I was like, I can't wait till you watch it at halftime and you have to come back and tell me, like, that you were wrong. And he was, like, kind of smiling. Like, to me, it looked like he was like, well, I wasn't wrong, so it doesn't matter. And then he came out at halftime and was like, yeah, my bad, I completely missed that. He hit you on the whole arm. And I was like, that's why I had the reaction I had. Like, I'm not just going to react for no reason. I knew I got fouled, and that's why, like, I don't know, I still shouldn't have let it affect me like it did, because it cost me $2,500 or whatever it costs for a technical foul these days. But I was frustrated. So I'd missed all my shots before that. I was like, I'm about to get a nice easy layup on Ennis, and then he fouled me and cost me $2,500. Good times.
Yeah, I was pissed at home, Joe.
I don't know. I'm not getting into this. I'm not taking another fine. I'll take my $2,500 and move on.
Okay.
I got my money's worth, though.
Yeah, good for you.
I definitely got my money's worth.
So given the fact that you played with and practice against Ennis Cantor, when he comes into a game, is it natural that all the Jazz players of that era know we have got to go at the hoop because we're either going to get a bucket or a foul here?
Are you trying to say that he's not a good defender?
He's not a good defender. I don't need to say it. Most people already know that. He can score and rebound. If he were a good defender, he'd be an all-star. You know, I mean, he's good, or he wouldn't be in the league. But you know where, you know, the fatal flaw lies.
No, yeah. I mean, I think with both their bigs, not saying that either of them are bad or good or whatever, but they both are back in the paint, very far back in the paint. So we obviously went when they were in. I think they went small for two stretches, one in the first half and one in the second half, which is, I think, we went when we went on our run, when they went small in the third quarter, which obviously they got out of that. But obviously knowing that Nurkic and Ennis are both so far back, we wanted to obviously use our fives with Rudy and Fave and play pick and rolls and use them to get the guards downhill. And like you said, then kind of a layup or a three, really, if they overhelp or whatever. So, I mean, it's you can say that about those guys. But yeah, I mean, it's with every team. It's what teams do to us. They put whoever Rudy's guarding on the strong side corner so he can't protect the rim. So everyone's obviously going in and game planning and figuring out what's the best way to win. And obviously there's things with every team that, that is a weakness that, that people try and attack.
Here you go. Joe Ingles right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. All kinds of fun stuff going on at the Masters. Schauffele's, all right, he's under par.
Yeah, he's doing well.
Hang in there, buddy.
He's doing well. Bryson DeChambeau, he's made a big run back today. He's 4-under on the day, and he's back to all square. So that's good for him. Tony Finau's having a heck of a round, buddy.
Come on, Tony.
Tony Finau's having a heck of a round. He's on 16. He's 5-under, 7-under on the day. And
I think Lee Westwood like must have passed out on a hole because he's been on like hole six for now like an hour and a half.
He got lost.
Lee, are you okay?
Where'd you? People are just screaming into the woods. Lee.
He's swimming in the dark colored pond. Do they put food coloring in that? Is that why that's so like glass black?
That sounds like something that they would do.
It does.
Yeah.
Like they color their water.
Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Andrew Reinhart with us once again from Wasatch Medical. If you're struggling from ED, and Andrew, I think, you know, this is something that's important to talk about because guys have been on the pill, have been on it for decades, and know that they're going to still have to be on it in decades. This has an end date of, you know, anywhere from 2 to 3, 4 weeks, and you're done.
Yeah, for a guy struggling with ED, the pill is kind of a never-ending thing. Not only is it never-ending, but they take a little bit more and a little bit more. The side effects get worse, and they have to take more just to get the same results. So eventually it stops working. The acoustic wave therapy, like you said, exactly right. 2 to 3 weeks of treatments, that's it. It has been clinically shown to open up the blood vessels enough that we can reverse the erectile dysfunction. Turn back the clock a little bit in the bedroom.
And it all starts with a free assessment, and I love that you guys do this for free. At 801-901-8000, you call that number right now. You can get scheduled for that free assessment.
Yeah, the assessment, the exam, blood flow ultrasound with our doctor. This is the first step in getting analyzed to see if you're a good candidate to get the ED fixed, repaired, reversed, and it's all free. Plus, don't forget that little gift. It produces immediate results in the bedroom. Guys love that. That's free as well.
801-901-8000. Make that phone call right now. 801-901-8000 right here on the Zone Sports Network.
The Big Show. The Big Show. With Jake Scott and Gordon Monson.
Sam Amick with us from The Athletic, working on the free agency files. Who's going to possibly be out there? Somebody on your list is Mike Conley. What kind of market might await him if he chooses to test it?
Mike has made it real clear he wants to re-sign in Utah. The Jazz have a chance here with Mike to have, I think, a run at title contention for the next several years. It would seemingly be a no-brainer, but signing Mike to a big-time deal is going to put them deep into the luxury tax. That's the only if to me. I'm not hearing any noise as of yet about Mike looking at greener pastures. But that being said, it's free agency. The way he's shooting the ball, the way he's still showing that he can play at a high level, I mean, Mike certainly is going to get plenty of attention.
Catch the Big Show weekdays from 2 to 7. Presented by Big O Tires, the team you trust. On 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Well, I stumbled at 2 a.m. all drunk and full of smoke. My wife said I have had enough. That said I'm sick. Get out! So I stumbled down to Kelly's boat across the edge of town. And I told the boys my story, and we had another round.
Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. It's a Friday. It's 1:30. It means it's time for another edition of Happy Hour. We take some of the segments throughout the week from various shows and Lloyd slows down the audio and makes us all sound drunk.
It's a Friday, so, you know, we get a little loosey-goosey. Scotty and I have done 3.5 hours of very serious sports radio
today.
Yes,
very much so.
So, you know, it's time to take the ponytail out, let the hair down, slip out of the brassiere and...
What?
Get comfortable. I'm just saying to get comfortable on a Friday and relax a little.
So, this is a first... I don't think we've ever – look, Lloyd usually picks on us for happy hour. Big Show's gotten it. DJ PK's got it from time to time. But this is – but usually it's us. But we have never had a happy hour from the same show. So this is from earlier today for happy hour. And I think our good friend Bob Casper is also involved in this. We'll just call it piggyback.
This is a completely ridiculous question, but I have to ask it. Is it allowed for a caddy to give his player like a shoulder ride or a piggyback ride from hole to hole?
There's the moment. There's always that moment where we have a really good interview. And then
man, they're not linebackers, man. They're not going to give their caddy.
I just wondering, like, if I'm out there and I'm struggling, I'm like, man, my legs are so tired. Ted, can I jump on your back?
So these guys walk anywhere from 7 to 10 miles a day.
Yeah.
On a golf course, and they're used to doing it. And they do it every day. They do it in practice rounds. They do it in tournament days, everything. So it's not that big a deal. I can remember when I was caddying, I would go out on tour with Keith. And if we had had a couple of weeks off, you know, you jump back in and you throw the bag on your shoulder, and the first couple of days you are just absolutely wiped out.
Bob Casper has probably given thousands of interviews, and today he was asked if a caddy can give his golfer a piggyback ride. Fairway. I just think we ought to take a moment and just appreciate that that question was asked. Hey, golf is tiring.
Do you think Bob's going to come on tomorrow, or do you think he's not? Bob's so gracious. He could have been like, hey, that's dumb. Move on. Next question.
You know what? It's an interesting question. If a guy's who's the dude that dealt with vertigo?
Jason Day.
You know, if this guy's like, hey, I will carry you down the fairway.
Yeah,
we just
right.
Gotta
that's
get
what
through
I'm
this.
But that's what
you
I'm
know
talking
what?
About.
The more you think about it, it's not actually.
Yeah. Scotty, is that stop it.
No, not stop it. No, what if you got a terrible
what are you
like,
doing?
Cramp or something? What was the question answered? Can you get.
He did not answer the question.
Can you get a ride from your caddy? That's all I'm asking.
You try to give somebody a piggyback through Augusta. Are you kidding me? All the hills up and down?
While carrying their bag.
Are you their bag and them? Are you crazy? Imagine if it's El Pato.
only saw one pair of footprints in that sand, in that trap.
It's Craig Stadler. Oh. I don't know, Craig.
The wall is going to kill somebody.
I don't know. I like the 5% of the purse, but I ain't taking
you. Dump that to 10.
I'm not taking you up 11.
Craig, it's a 50-50 split if I do this.
Oh, eat more beef, Slattery. Like, I can't go another step.
Oh, man.
Neither can I, Beefs.
I'm crying over here.
Neither can I.
That may have been a good one.
Oh, man. I don't know. I don't know about your bunker comment.
Yeah, that was.
that's at least saw one pair of footprints.
Sketchy,
in the,
man.
That was subpar.
That's way sketchy. That's where my caddy carried me.
Where were you, Stevie? I was carrying you.
Oh, man, I miss Stevie. Chicklets. I miss him.
All right, there you go. Another edition of Happy Hour right here on the Zone Sports Network.
I hope people are having a good Friday. I hope you have a good weekend. I hope you're able to relax and just enjoy some good weather, because it is going to be a beautiful Masters weekend. And remember, by the time we all return back together on Monday, the Utah Jazz will have the Sacramento game under their belt. That'll be played tomorrow at 7 o'clock. So you got a 7 o'clock tip tomorrow evening, some good basketball to watch. You got some good golf to watch all weekend, some good weather to get out and golf and enjoy the beautiful courses here in the state of Utah. Make it a good weekend for yourself.
Go out there, get some yard work done.
That's what I was just gonna ask.
Get that yard,
any yard work?
Get that yard looking good.
Go create your own happy hour too.
I mean, responsibly.
Yeah. I got a lot of yard work done last weekend.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I got, you know that first trim you do where you take,
oh, yeah,
you take your edger and you get in there and it flips rocks all over your face and bark,
yeah,
and
yeah,
branches. And then you do that first mow and it takes all the weeds and, you know, everything that's blowing into your yard up.
Yep.
You hit all the napkins.
Sinuses,
that are blowing.
Sinuses are closed.
Yeah, I did all that. Also, the grass that has grown up under the curbing.
Yeah.
That, you know, the grass.
Yeah, you got to clean that stuff up.
I went and hit all that with the Kills All. And
smart.
So we got started.
Yeah.
Charlie came out and got me with that early pre-emergent.
There you go.
So you're telling me Charlie came and did all the work?
No.
Charlie does. He just sprays.
He sprays.
Oh, okay.
He gets the grass fed. He'll get it looking really good. He saved one of my trees, too. Did I tell you that?
No.
Yeah, he did a I had a pine that was just unhappy, and he did a, I think he called a bulb wash, where he comes in with a really nice really nice fertilizer.
Really? Tell me more.
Tell me more. Bulb.
What are you doing with your hands?
So that helped a lot. Saved my tree.
Refreshing.
Yeah, there are ways to save trees if you got a tree that's going south on you.
Get it taken care of.
That tree's doing well, though.
Yeah, mine?
It's good there.
He's doing all right.
Well, I mean, look, when you have 100, you might lose one or two along the way.
I don't have 100. You've got your scrub oak forest.
Yeah, that just grows wild, though. I haven't planted anything.
Do you trim that?
If you
probably have to prune it up a little bit, right?
So I,
to keep the light through.
I will say that there's some issues because then especially when you get like that late snow in April or that early snow and it still has buds on it, it'll bend all the branches down. So you got to clean that stuff up.
Do you have a lot of it break or no?
A lot of it, yeah. Sometimes, boy, September wrecked us with that windstorm in September. Yeah. That caused all kinds of problems for us.
You got it hit you hard there.
Oh yeah,
Eagle Mountain it hits really hard because we don't have any trees or anything to break the wind.
We've got
there's trees in Eagle Mountain. They just happen to be all on your property.
It is not. I don't even have that many trees.
Have you named the trees?
No. Nope. But I do still talk to them.
Yeah.
I just walk up, I'll grab a branch and say, how you doing, man?
Hey, how we doing?
How are you? Bud's looking a little bit peach.
Need a bulb wash? need to wash that bulb?
Just stop, man. I think that's what they call it.
I'm not arguing.
It's like a fertilizer bulb.
Well, is it the thing that you stick in the ground and then it just kind of feeds its fertilizer down. Yeah. That's pretty.
Text Chuck. See what he says.
Charlie. Don't call him Chuck.
No, he doesn't go by Chuck.
I just got a text from Charlie. He's listening.
Oh, good.
He's doing my place later this afternoon.
If you want Charlie's number, DM me.
Yes.
I'll give it to you. We've had people from time to time ask us about him. Scotty and I stumbled onto this lawn genius.
He is a genius, too.
A good dude. And a very affordable.
And that's the thing. You know, the point is, if it was a smaller yard, I would do it myself. But he's so inexpensive that it makes more sense just to have him do it.
Hey, I just got an official ruling on the piggyback ride.
Oh, really?
Yeah. This is from a guy that I knows. He knows the PGA Tour rules, and he said it is 100% against the rules. The golfer must walk. If he can't walk, as Lloyd said with Tony Finau, you brought up the thought of Tony Finau when he dislocated his ankle. If he can't walk, round and tournament is over. That's a shame. The other thing I thought was interesting today that we learned was Abraham Ancer and him just hitting about 25 grains of sand pre-swing out of the bunker. He would have been disqualified for that. What, 2 years?
Frowned upon, yes.
2 years ago?
Yes.
If he would have signed a card that put him at a 43 when, in fact, he was given a two-stroke penalty, if he'd have signed it before that two-stroke penalty was added, they would have removed him from the field. That'd have been a bummer because you can tell that's not on purpose. He's not trying to cheat. Here's the thing, though. I asked Bob about cheaters. Scotty, Lloyd, stop it. There's cheaters in golf.
Oh, yeah, totally. Look, in any competition, there's cheaters.
There's dudes out there that are doing something illegal.
Well, sure, at your local muni, but not out
here. Oh, come on. Of course they are.
Lloyd.
No, I'm serious.
The bigger the stakes, the more cheating
on everything.
You can get a good look at a T-bone by asking the butcher.
Don't finish that.
Yeah.
What was the Tommy boy?
Look how bad those greens look, by the way. You see the rest of it. Those do look bad.
The greens are burnt out.
I'm really disappointed with how those greens look. It makes me sad.
Will they green up then this weekend?
They're supposed to have some rain.
If they get some water and some rain, yeah, they can green up pretty quick.
Yeah, they're supposed to. It's amazing how they control this stuff. They could green it up themselves just overnight. I mean, they control it.
Hands and Scotty, wrap things up. Get you ready for the big show next right here on the Zone Sports Network.
Slow Mo Joe.
The Joe Ingles Show with DJ and PK.
So when you get teed up, does that mean you got to be quiet the rest of the game?
Everyone kept saying, leave him alone, you've already got one. I was like, I'm not leaving him alone because they obviously missed that and it really annoyed me at that time. The best part is that I said to him, I can't wait till you watch it at halftime and you have to come back and tell me that you were wrong. And then he came out at halftime and was like, yeah, my bad, I completely missed that. It cost me $2,500 or whatever it costs for a technical foul these days, but I was frustrated. I'd missed all my shots before that. I was like, I'm about to get a nice easy layup on Ennis. And then he fouled me and cost me $2,500. Good time. So I'll take my $2,500 and move on. Okay. I got my money's worth, though. I definitely got my money's worth.
Oh, yeah.
Catch Jazzman Joe Ingles with DJ and PK every Thursday morning on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Hans and Scotty wrapping up another edition of the show. Hope you had a good Friday so far, and hopefully you've got a great weekend on tap. Golf, you can still get on the ice too, right?
Yeah.
It's always a nice time of year when you can do a little fishing, a little golfing at the same time.
So what I'm attempting to do, I've got a little 32-inch flat screen, and what I'm attempting to do, because you can get service up at Strawberry.
Yeah.
So I'm going to attempt to stream the Masters onto this 32-inch screen in my little igloo thing that I've got and drill a couple holes and catch some fish while I'm watching some golf.
That's pretty cool.
Is that a selfish weekend?
Not at all. Not at all.
And I might just sit there all day and not move. Take a bag of snacks. And
well, look, you're either going to do it up there or you're going to do it in your living room, one of the two. So might as well go up there and do some fishing.
Might as well have a fish hit while I'm watching some Masters.
Yeah.
Might as well do something while I'm doing nothing.
I still can't believe you're going to pack in a 32-inch TV.
Yeah. I know. Well, the amount of gear that you pack in, I've got this huge like sled thing that I put all my ice fishing gear in. But I've become an ice fishing freak. I might be a little bit sick about it. What, it's been about 5 years. I'm just, this ice fishing thing is constant on my mind.
Yeah. I'm sure those fine people at Strawberry Bay Marina will help you lug some TVs.
Man, they're so good to me up there.
Yeah, they are.
I do love them. They got up. That's an elite place up there. When's the last time you were up there at the Strawberry Bay Marina?
Wasn't last year, but the year before.
It's a fun place.
But business was probably hopping for them last year. A lot of people doing those, that fishing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So what do you got planned for this weekend, Scotty?
Straight yard work. Got to get my yard looking good.
Okay.
Was out of town last weekend. Couldn't get it done last weekend, so get some work done.
Well, if anybody's going to win this that is not a part of my trio, my fingers are crossed for Tony Finau.
Have to be.
I'd love to see our local hero right there from Rose Park. I don't know if he was from Rose Park, but Rose Park was his home course, correct?
Yeah. I think he was from around there.
Tony Finau just bogeyed on 18.
I don't think he was trekking it from Provo down to Rose Park to play golf. So I'd say he's probably around from around there, be my guess.
Look, Riverside is great, but I'd much rather go hit Rose Park.
Yeah. And Rose Park is fabulous. I love Rose Park.
Apparently he's out there where with you and Kevin at Alpine. Apparently he golfs Alpine quite a bit now.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
I saw him out at the last time I saw him was at Fox Hall.
Oh, really?
Yep. They had a little practice green out there. They've got the university practice greens out there by Fox Hollow. But Tony Finau currently 4-under in the clubhouse through 2 rounds, and he is tied for 5th with Bernard Weisberger. And I was thinking about adding more meat to my category with Weisberger. Yeah. Weisberger's playing extremely well, but he's tied with Weisberger, Justin Thomas, and Brian Harman. So good luck to Tony. Go have a good weekend, bud.
All right.
We're all rooting for you.
Got your back. Let's go.
Yep.
All right. Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Big show coming up next, breaking down another big win for the Utah Jazz, snapping that 2-game skid, and getting a win at home against the Portland Trailblazers. So we will... you will hear from Gordon and Jake coming up next. But right now, Andrew Reinhart, kind enough to join us once again. Andrew, look, we've had a chance to chat all day long. There's a couple things we need to take away from our conversation. Number one, no pills, no injections, no needles, none of that stuff. And when it comes to ED, that's something people want to hear.
Yep, that is something people want to hear. Nobody wants to take the pill. It causes so many side effects. You're taking more and more of it. And it's a symptom reliever. So if you're out there struggling with ED, you can choose to go down that road or you can treat the root cause. And as far as I know, the treatments at Wasatch Medical, it's the only thing that really goes after the root cause of the problem. It opens up and repairs the blood vessels. So when the timing is right in the bedroom, the blood flows properly, like it used to in a man's younger years.
And then there's a free assessment to find out what's right for you, what if this will help. And again, you're offering that all up for free.
Yes, and occasionally we find a guy that has erectile dysfunction, and it's something other than a blood flow problem. Most of the time, it is a blood flow issue. That's what we'll discover and find out in the assessment. The doctor will do an exam. He'll do a blood flow ultrasound. That's pretty cool to get a rating on blood flow. And then you decide from there, is this a good fit for me? Am I ready to take the next step in getting rid of the ED? And it's all totally free.
801-901-8000. That's a number to call, 801-901-8000. And I love the fact that you mentioned this. Get the information, have the assessment. If it's right for you, great, proceed. If not, you want to wait a while, that's cool too.
Yep, we believe in delivering a lot of value. And guys come in and say, you know, I'm just starting to experience a little erectile dysfunction, but I need to wait a little longer. Some guys are ready to go right away. Take the free and at least get the information you need, because we're talking about a very important aspect of life here, and that is your relationship.
801-901-8000. That's 801-901-8000 right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.